Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the raptor, not bragging. Bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Sprawl it backwards, I'ma leave it at that.
Well,
you got an email.
You know,
you get an email there.
I love working where we work.
You just
literally never know what you're going to get.
No.
So, hey, it's Miguel. This is Holly.
Hi.
It's Uncensored. We do the morning show on Hot 101.5, and we just released a podcast, but I felt like we should do a special quick one.
It
does. Because we can't talk about it on the air for a long time because half of you in the Miguel and Holly family would be like, I don't watch no damn Game of Thrones. I don't want to spend all this time on it. So we're like, listen, the best place to do it is the podcast. So like if you don't listen to Game of Thrones, if you don't watch it, then just go ahead and go to the beginning of our podcast and you can binge them all.
This is not the podcast for you.
No, this is one strictly for our... Do Game of Thrones people have like a special, like the Game of Throners? The Iron Throners, Khaleesi's, the Starks, the Lannisters.
I guess you go under whatever sigil you might like. Isn't that what they're called, the flags?
Yes, the banners.
Yeah.
No, they're the bannermen.
The bannermen hold the sigils.
Holly, what house would you be in if you were, if you could pick which house you would want to be born into, which one would it be?
That's a good-ass question.
Mm-hmm. I also have another question, too.
Oh. Okay.
Before we get into what happened on the series finale.
I kind of feel like, I mean, per what happened,
right.
I'm going to go with the Starks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But I don't think I would also have minded being up in Highgarden with Lady Olenna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She fierce.
I feel like I would, obviously, Stark is going to be number one.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't want to be a child of Ned Stark?
Well, Rob...
Well,
and also that other kid that died.
I mean,
what was his name even? Rickon.
Wait, the
Rickon.
Little one.
Rickon.
Oh yeah, what happened to him?
He was running across the field in the Battle of the Bastards.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Ramsay shot him in the chest.
That's right. That's right.
Sad day.
But you know what? Spoiler alert! If you have not watched it,
okay, no, you're gonna have to put spoiler alert on the actual title.
We will, but
we will be talking about all of it,
just in case you missed it, because you know people don't read. This is. All about the series finale.
Yes.
The Starks are basically ruling Westeros.
Not just Westeros, the entire world.
And also whatever Arya is going to go experience.
That's what I'm saying. Like she's going out west. Like she's basically Columbus, so I'm going to set to discover America.
Now, I have an article pulled up that I haven't read yet, but I was going to just email it to myself to read later. It was like, here's the book that Arya's adventures that she's about to go on is based off of. And I wish I would have read the article because we just decided we were going to do this just
I know,
today.
I have a couple articles that I was going to read and I should have referenced
We should have prepared for this a little bit better.
I have one quote, though, that I'll get to in a moment.
I would want to be, Stark is number one, and then probably Doreen. Doreen.
Dorne?
Dorne. Dorne. I would like to.
Oh, like where the sand snakes were?
Yes, I would love because I think when I was rewatching Game of Thrones with my boyfriend in the fall, and I just got, you know, like once you understand the arc of like what's happening, you can sort of go in and out as when you're watching it for the first time, you got to like be focused. And so when we were watching it, there'd be some episodes where I'd do a little research and there'd been people that have put together maps.
Yeah.
Of where Westeros would take place about like where the Starks and like Winterfell, that's in like England, Scotland, and then it talks about
The real world.
Yeah, and like the real world, like how it all sort of plays together. It's really fascinating.
Is it based on the Earth or is it just totally mythological?
No, it's like mythological because they had to like squish some places together where they were saying like Dorne would be like Spain. You know what? And then I think the veil would be like France, if I remember correct. I'll pull one up here so we can see.
That is interesting. I'll
right?
be honest with you.
I probably went through like six maps and then I was going to order one for the room, the bedroom. And I was like, all right, this is too much.
That's a lot.
Holly, yes. Here's my other question as I'm looking up the, Westeros map.
Okay.
If you could have a beach day with three Game of Thrones characters, where you're going to sit around, you're going to drink on the beach, you're going to relax, you're going to play games. Then you're probably going to watch the sunset together. You're going to eat some public subs together on the beach.
Oh, gosh.
What three characters from Game of Thrones would that be?
Okay, it would be Daenerys Targaryen, it would be Jon Snow, and it would be Tyrion Lannister.
Now, from what we know of what happened at the end,
yeah,
would you really want to still hang out with Dany? Because don't you think Dany would end up being like the drunk girl who's got like daddy issues, who's like a little too drunk and gets a little too aggressive? Like, she's super sweet when she's sober, mm-hmm. but then all of a sudden, like when she's drunk, this whole other side of her comes out and she's a little destructive?
Maybe, but that's okay.
You'd be okay with that?
I'm okay with it.
In your friend group?
I stand with Dany. I think that she's misunderstood, mm-hmm. and I think that, you know, yes, she does have the gene of madness in her, but it was a collective perfect storm of shit that caused her to, like, literally light up a city.
But do you want that in your friend group, though? Like, do you want her stomping on your, like, imagine, Dany's that girl, and we all have that friend in our group, because sometimes it's me. Where
so what you're saying is people don't want you in the
group? Pretty much. Like, you're doing brunch, and like, you know, like the first few minutes of brunch, everyone's got their one mimosa and deciding what they're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But like, she's already had three mimosas in like 30 minutes, and you're like, girl, slow down.
I don't think that's who she is. I think that she has to be pushed to the absolute brink. Like, on a normal brunch day, mm-hmm. she's not going to be crazy.
No.
Like, the only time she's going to go crazy is if, like, you know, she gets evicted from her house, her boyfriend leaves, her mom dies. Like, then she's
like gonna.
She'll detonate.
Right. She'll light up the fire.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay.
What about you?
I would say Jon Snow. Because
Jon Snow?
No,
you have to pick three.
No, well, I'm gonna tell you why.
Oh.
Because Jon Snow is that friend that you have that's gonna like make sure everyone's got their wallet before you leave. Everyone's got their cell phone. He's gonna make sure that like if you're drunk and you're talking to your ex, he's gonna like hold you back and be like, you need to think about this until you're sober.
Is that what Jon Snow sounds like? That's what he sounds like? Okay.
I wish I could do the accent so bad. But Jon Snow is that guy. Then you also need the person that's just gonna like fuck shit up. Like, you need that person that's like there for the party, but they only get invited to like the big parties, not like game night, but like to the big parties,
yeah.
because they're the party starter. What's the homeboy, the Freeman?
Tormund?
The red hair?
Tormund.
Yes. He's the guy that you only invite for big parties.
I thought about him, but yeah. I was like, I don't want him if there's only three of us.
Right,
He needs to be there if it's a big-ass group because he's going to, like, light some shit on fire like a couch, and you're going to be like, that crazy bitch.
But I feel like for a day at the beach, he's going to be the people that, like, when you have other groups at the beach and you're kind of like, oh, that guy's kind of cute over there, he's the guy that's like, well, let me go bring him over to the table. Let me bring him over to the tent. Come on. Like, he's that wing person that you need.
Yeah.
And then you got to round it out with Tyrion.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to. Because he drinks and he knows things.
Yeah, and he's funny as fuck.
Exactly. So that would be my perfect beach day. So
yeah.
I heard that on another morning show, but they described it differently. But I thought for us here in Tampa Bay, who would you want at the beach or at brunch? And so I wanted to know your picks.
Yeah.
So Holly, the series finale.
Yes.
What do you think?
I just felt kind of empty after all of that. And I am not in the group of people that wants to sign a petition to have someone else do the like,
right.
How entitled are you? Okay? Like, shut up about it. Like, if you want to do it better, then go, you do it better. But I appreciate it for what it was. There was a lot of beauty. There were a lot of beautiful moments in it.
And visually.
Oh,
absolutely
God.
Stunning.
Yes. But here's where I have an issue. Like, obviously, per our just last conversation, I like Daenerys. I've always been a fan of hers. I mean, bitch got shit done. Mm-hmm. But then it was like she had this perfect storm of her life falling apart. And the only thing that she had left to visualize was what she had started out with. I will sit on the Iron Throne. And it consumed her. And she had lost everybody. So there was no one really to pull her back from the brink of, let me light my mad shit on fire. So I see how it happened, and it was so tragic to me. It's kind of the same feel of tragedy as when, you know, Juliet wakes up out of her fake death and sees that Romeo is dying and has died from poison.
Right.
And then she's just like, I'm trying to think if she's Romeo or Juliet here, but it's like the same type of tragedy where it could have been avoided if one thing had been different. Like if one person had really stood by her or lived or, you know, whatever, and it just didn't happen that way and it was a tragedy.
Now, if Jon Snow had not made the decision to kill her, would you still want to see her on the throne?
No. No, because that throne, it's too much.
So do you think that at the end of the day, it should have been John?
Yes, and that's why I think I feel so empty.
Right.
Because, you know, it feels like, and it took me a while to get to this, and it took me a lot of reading stuff online and looking at other people's opinions, because I was like, why do I feel this way? And it's because they had such amazing character building through this entire series. And then it was like the last season, these last six episodes, which why we couldn't have more than six, I don't know.
Right.
But in these last six episodes, they shoved so much character development into each episode, you didn't get to see it unfold. And it was all of a sudden like, okay, well, Bran is the king now? Where the fuck has Bran been?
Right.
Like, where is he? And, like, why did we spend so much time up there with him and the three-eyed damn raven? What is all of that about? And, in fact, I think in one season, he wasn't even present.
No.
And
no,
it's
he
like,
wasn't.
We never fully grasped the relevance of the three-eyed raven other than, okay, he can, like, you know, warg into animals or whatever.
Right.
And then suddenly now he's all wise and all knowing and he wants to just be the king. Like, they asked him if he wanted to be Lord of the North. And he was like, no, I am not Bran. I am the Three-Eyed Raven. Until old Tyrion's like, well, would you rule? And he's like, shit, yeah. That's why I came down here.
Why do you think they rolled my ass up here for?
Like, that was, it just seemed out of character. And on the same, maybe on the different side of that coin, why spend all of that time building Jon Snow's lineage and heritage and making him the actual Song of Fire and Ice? He's Stark. He's Targaryen. If that's the whole point of this thing, why is he just all shuffling off in the north now?
Now, I wonder, though, because someone brought this up to me yesterday, is that that's what Game of Thrones is known for, is obviously stunning visuals, great storytelling, but sort of like Big Brother, expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
And someone told me this yesterday, and I feel bad that I'm taking their line. And I wish I could remember who I'm accrediting this to. Maybe it was my roommate, Derek. But the thing that whoever it was telling me is that sort of like Big Brother, that's the thing with Game of Thrones. You never know what's going to happen. And so if Jon would have ended up on the throne, which is what we were all sort of rooting for after we saw that Dany just was going to lose her shit, I think that would have been too easy. Like, that was the, like, Game of Thrones was never going to give us the ending that we wanted.
Right.
I mean, they have 7 years of the Red Wedding, of Ned Stark dying in the first few episodes. I mean, they basically told us from the very beginning, you're not going to get what you want. And remember, we were devastated when Ned Stark died at the beginning. We were like, well, what's the point of this fucking show? Like, we want to see him who is right and just rule, or at least have a say and just live.
Well, here's the thing that I love, though, is that Ned Stark's death was not in vain. His kids do rule in just and wise ways.
Right.
So it's like he set that in motion as a great role model.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he died, which sucked.
I
mean, like, oh, God, like so much stuff could have been avoided. But his legacy now lives on as what's going to happen in the rest of that world.
You know, I thought that, and so I think I read this somewhere, that they thought this whole story, that Game of Thrones, as we've been watching it, was going to all of a sudden pull back at the very end, and it was going to maybe be Bran, like, telling someone as he's the Three-Eyed Raven, you know, like, 80 years into the future.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, whoever's ruling then or whatever's happening, he's like, here's how we got to this point. And the whole seven seasons was him telling the story of what happened from beginning to end.
That I could get down with.
And so then we would sort of see what was the eventual fallout. Like, where did Arya go? What happened with Sansa? Did her and Bran end up fighting because, you know, he's the king of Westeros and she now wants the North to be independent? Like, what's going to happen with that? And so it could have been him just sort of telling some people And that would have been interesting to sort of see how that would have played out as well.
True. That's true. I would have enjoyed that. And now we're talking about, like, so as far as, like, future, obviously it leaves the door wide open. Not that there's going to be a lot of anything that comes of it. Because aren't they talking about doing prequels?
Yeah, but see, here's because, you know, like, these companies and what everyone wants to do is, like, the surprise. You know, like, Beyonce dropping her album with a surprise. Walking Dead, I know you don't watch it anymore, but, like, when Rick was on his last episode, Rick Grimes in The Walking Dead, and we thought he was, like, they were like, he's done. He's probably going to die. And all of a sudden, they were like, end of the episode, we're actually going to do 2 spinoff movies with Rick Grimes. Ha ha, crazy. You're going to get more Walking Dead when you didn't think you were going to. So I'm wondering if this whole time HBO's been like, it's over, it's done. We're going to do little prequels, but none of the people that you love are going to be in it.
Right.
Surprise, they're not prequels. They're actually going to be spinoffs with Arya figuring out what's in the West, with Bran. I don't think they would, like, go back into that world directly.
They won't go to King's Landing, I don't think.
But
that's
I don't
done.
Know, or maybe they would. It would be in the future where it's, right, like Bran, after he's had his rule, or Sansa from her perspective or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know if those spinoffs are going to be exactly what they've said they're going to be.
Interesting. I would like a sequel. I mean, I'd watch the Arya spinoff, but I feel like I love Arya as a character,
mm-hmm,
not as a, like, I love her as someone sort of in the shadows, mm, that you forget, and then you're like, damn, there comes Arya, like with the Night King.
Right.
I lost my mind when that happened. However, her entire story, I think it was in season 5, when she was over with, like, the many-faced god. I had a tough time.
That was exhausting.
With that season.
Yeah.
Because it just kept going, and it felt like, see, this is what I'm saying. Like, season 5, you had, like, you know, all these episodes devoted to Arya, and she's, like, getting beat up by that girl, and she's doing on faces and all this and that. And, like, yeah, that was obviously relevant because it taught her how to be a mercenary, like a killer, like, you know, this amazing warrior. But did we need that many episodes to know she's going to be a badass warrior? I
sort of look at it like this, is that we think that from our perspectives that, you know, you need to tell a good story, but it's also still a business.
Yeah.
And so they still have to fulfill an order of, you know, however many episodes were in a season normally outside of this last season. So they have to fill time. So they got to tell the story and, you know, unfold the character development. But there were some things along the way that, now that we've reached the end, it was frustrating. Like with Samwell, like.
Yeah.
Would I say his name right?
No, for a second I thought it was Samwise, but that's Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's what I was about to say. I was like, wait, I think that's the wrong one.
Samwell Tarly, Samwise,
yeah,
Gamgee.
Yeah, see, I'm not good with the names on Game of Thrones.
It's the Samwise to the Frodo. That's how it is. It's fine.
But, like, with that story, like, all that time spent with, like, his family.
Yeah.
With the baby. Like, I don't understand, like, what all of that was for. But they had to fill time.
They did. I guess that's true. And, I mean, and this is what pisses me off, and I'll go back to it. It's like, okay, so we got all that about Samwell, right? Samwell.
Yeah.
And he's the one that had the knowledge of Jon Snow's parents with, you know, it wasn't who we thought. He's not a bastard. He's actually the rightful heir. And that was, like, that was Samwell's main point. But as it turns out, none of that shit mattered.
No.
Was that a huge red herring? Or was it just that they were like, well,
okay,
we're gonna spend time on it.
Think about this. The episode, the last battle or whatever it was called, the one where they fought the Night King. And
was that the Battle of Winterfell?
The Battle of Winterfell. Think about how that was shot. Like, everyone complained it was so dark. You couldn't tell what the fuck was going on. But they said we wanted it to be as realistic as possible. So we wanted it to be like they didn't have lights. They didn't have spotlights. It was dark and you couldn't see.
Right.
And so we wanted you to experience it like it was real.
Sure.
So knowing that that's where their heads are.
Okay.
Life is never that truly exciting like they write.
Right.
And so maybe for them they thought, this is based in quote-unquote reality. And so in reality, life doesn't work out. And
yeah,
sometimes it's kind of like a whimper. It's like a wet fart. It just sort of like, it's not the big explosive like, ooh, that was good. I got the gas out. This is like, done. That was it. It was a wet fart.
I don't want Game of Thrones to be a wet fart. No. Can I tell you a secret that I am ashamed of? And not ashamed. I'm embarrassed of, because I just was holding on hope for like the last several moments of the show.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason in my head, I was like, maybe Daenerys is not dead. Mm. Maybe the dragon picks her up and flies off with her. And I'm like, she's kind of magical anyway. Maybe he's going to light her on fire and she's going to come back alive.
Oh, she's like a phoenix?
Yeah.
Rise from the ashes?
Because, I mean, Jon Snow came back from the dead. Now, yes, he had the Red Woman.
Right.
But I was like, I don't know. Daenerys sat through a fire and couldn't get killed. So maybe Drogon is going to bring her back. And then when it was very clear that was not happening, I was like, well, fine. That's fine.
Or could it?
I mean, that's what I assumed. I assumed that anything is possible.
I mean, maybe if you're talking about the Lord of Light, who is into fire, obviously, and the Targaryens are fire, dragons are fire.
Yeah.
Maybe there is like another Red Woman, because we've seen that there are multiple Red Womans.
Women's. We got the Red Women's.
We got the Red Women's out here, girl.
Remember, there was another Red Woman.
Yeah, there was another Red Woman. And so maybe he's taking her to a Red Woman.
Maybe.
To come back to life.
Yeah. And what I did love was that at the end, Drogon the dragon didn't do anything to Jon.
Right.
It was very clear that Jon killed Daenerys.
Mm-hmm.
But the dragon was like, I see you also, Jon Snow. And then he was pissed, so he took out the throne. Because right. He knew that the throne was what really killed her in the end.
Right, it's true.
Now, as a completely separate tangent, do I have time to go on one?
Yeah, we got time.
I ship Kit Harington and Emilia Clarke in real life. Like, I know that Kit Harington married that other girl, what's her face, with the red hair from the show that he hooked up with the first time.
Oh, yes, Ygritte or whatever.
Ygritte, whatever. They're married in real life. But I'm like, shit, me and my one friend, Christy, we send all these memes and stuff back and forth.
Oh, my God.
And so she emails me.
Oh, my God.
Yesterday at 8 p.m. And the title of the email is Kit Harington on First Seeing Emilia Clarke.
I really love that you two are emailing each other. Like, that's how serious y'all are. It's like, this is above a text message or an Instagram message. This is an email.
She has sent it to my Superstar Holly account also, because that's how old school we're going, all right?
Oh, my gosh.
She goes, I will never not stand secret love. And then so she quotes an interview from Esquire magazine in which they interview Kit Harington, which I'd love to read this.
Mm.
And it says, the moment Kit Harington said goodbye to Jon Snow, and I haven't read the whole article yet, but it looks fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the passage that she sent me.
Mm.
And this is obviously Jon Snow, or Kit Harington speaking.
Okay.
I remember the first time I ever saw her. She came into the Fitzwilliam bar. I had been talking to Rich Madden at the bar, and he went, I've just met the new Daenerys. She's gorgeous. And I was like, really? I haven't met her yet. And then she came in, and I saw her and was like, wow. She takes your breath away when she walks into a room, Emilia. This was taken in Spain, and I thought Emilia looked like, as the old saying goes, $1 million. I just love them.
Wow.
I just love their love.
But
I think I'm a romantic at heart is what it is. That's my problem.
Do we know what Emilia Clarke is like in real life, though?
No, I have no idea. From interviews, she seems really funny.
Is she?
Every time I see an interview with her, she just seems, like, really funny. Like, did you see the thing where she met Beyonce a couple years ago?
No.
Yes. So Beyonce, I guess, comes over. They were at some awards show or something, and Beyonce comes over, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact quote, but Beyonce looks at her and goes, I love your work on the show. And Emilia Clarke was like, oh no, Beyonce thinks she's talking to another celebrity, but little does she know that I'm a crazy fan, and she can see the crazy in my eyes, and she can see that I am stunned by talking to Beyonce, and all she could say was like, I love you, I love your performances, you're amazing. And I'm like, anybody that can be self-aware enough and self-deprecating enough to do that, she's got to be good.
Like, you're on the biggest show ever, and you're
like, the mother of dragons.
And she's like, she doesn't know who I am. Beyonce knows the mother of dragons, girl.
Yes.
Oh, really? I did want to bring this up real quick. Hold on, dude. It's the last one. It's the last one. It's over. It's done.
I got so sad when the theme song was playing on Sunday night, by the way.
Oh, it was sad to see. Mm. That was the last time you'll see an original. So homeboy, sorry. Let's see. Hold
Kettle
on. Wait,
One
sorry.
Botanic.
Stop, shut up, Kettle One. Robin Aaron.
Oh, Whoa, talk about his glow up.
Yeah, what's he called on the show?
He's Robin Aaron. He is that little kid that was breastfeeding at the age of like 10.
The drinker of milk. Mother's good strong boy and Lord of the Vale.
Yep.
Did you see him in the last episode when they were sitting around talking about who was going to rule the six kingdoms?
Yeah, I actually was like, I was so invested in the dialogue and the bigger story that I saw it and I was like, damn, what happened to that boy? And then I promptly forgot about it because there was too much other stuff going on.
Yeah, well, Entertainment Weekly did an article about it and just about how, like, his major glow up. And they have, like, a bunch of just, like, side-by-side photos of him. And I was like, boy, get it. He better, like, take that and run with it and let everybody know. I am now the new Neville Longbottom.
Oh, yeah, Neville Longbottom. Because remember, if you'll recall, in Harry Potter, Neville Longbottom was like the unfortunate
kid.
He hadn't grown into himself.
But he growed up.
And then he done grown. Mm-hmm. He longbottomed is what he did.
Yeah, he did. He got a long bottom, girl.
Okay.
All right, well, there we go. We just talked almost 30 minutes of Game of Thrones. So
I hope it was interesting to someone.
It was. Hopefully so. If not, this was strictly for us to do. So there you go.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, that's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. We'll be back. I don't know what it's going to look like. Because Scott's in China. Ryan's quitting, if you didn't hear the last podcast.
You're like, he's
Ryan's
quitting.
Gone. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had to.
It's fine. He had to move on. He's going to be with us until Scott is back from China. So if you missed last podcast, it is up now at hot1015tampabay.com on the Hot 101.5. Did I say that already? I don't know what I'm saying.
I stopped listening. Because I was thinking, I got some shit I got to talk about, but we're not going to be able to talk about it for a while. And then I was like, I wonder if Miguel's going to be mad about that. And I'm going to be like, I know he's going to want to talk about it, but can't yet. But then he's going to get like the first. And this is like post Game of Thrones. That only a few people are going to hear this podcast. I sort of feel like you have an Oprah moment coming. I can't tell you when.
Oh.
But like in some months or so, maybe.
An Oprah moment happening?
Like, you get to be Oprah.
What do you mean?
Like, you're going to get to sit down and do, like, an exclusive interview Oprah style.
Ooh.
Because I feel like that's your forte. Like,
yes.
That is what you excel in.
Because I love it.
You turn even normal interviews into Oprah interviews. So I'm telling you, at some point, you will get to actually be Oprah. That is going to be required of you if you're open to it. Obviously, I'm not going to force you to do it.
Okay. Listen, anytime I get to delve into a topic and unearth all sides of it, I am here for it.
Oh, there you go.
I'm here for it. All right, Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and then on Facebook, it's Holly on Hot 101.5.
For producer Ryan, it's Radio McGibb on Instagram and Twitter, but he doesn't use Twitter.
No, he doesn't know how.
Scott, while you can look at his travels in China, Scott Tavlin on Instagram and Twitter, and I'm Miguel Fuller, MiguelFuller. Until next week, bye, bitch!
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at Hot 101.5 TampaBay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.